In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was so disgusted with my Christmas lights this year. I don't know how many of you do outside lights, but they can be really frustrating at times. And the last few years I had done these, I had seen somebody else do them. I thought they were pretty cool, these little trees you make out of lights. You know, you put a pole in the middle and put the lights over them. And I really like them because when they're done right, they really look pretty cool. Well, I had so much trouble with them because you'd have like one strand go out, you got half a tree lit. And then for some reason, my light strands were actually just completely snapping in two. I don't know if I had them too tight. It looked like literally like some kid was coming by and cutting my wires. So I gave up on those. And this year I thought, you know, I really did literally think, I'm just going to keep this thing real nice and simple and perfect. So I put just lights around the porch, and I thought, no problem, okay? Put it on a nice timer. Well, you can imagine where I'm going. But there's my timer. I couldn't get it to work right at all. We tried it several different ways, and it just wouldn't work. When I had set on to turn on it, dawn in it, and so, or I'm getting mixed up, turn on at dusk, and then stay on for a while, it would just go on, off, on, off, on, off, and I just couldn't get it to stop. So I got rid of the timer, which you know what that means. You have to rely on your memory to turn them on and off, which works about half of the time. So that was the first problem. They weren't always on. And then, of course, I got the half a strand, you know, that goes out on the porch railing. And then on the icicle lights, about a quarter of a strand goes out. So now they just look silly and ridiculous. My kids say, what's the matter with their lights? So then I'm just embarrassed to even turn them on at all. So I just kind of stopped turning them on. So I was taking them down the other night, Friday night, and I thought, you know, I never get these things right. Next year, I always tell Valerie this anyway, but then I always change my mind. But I said, next year, nope, not doing them next year, right? But I bring all this up because it's just a small example of something that's so frustrating. We can't get it right. We can't get it perfect. And that's really our lives. And I don't know if you thought of this, but this is absolutely true. Do you know that there's not actually a single thing that you do 100% perfectly right? It sounds harsh to say that, sounds really negative, but it's absolutely true. We cannot do anything 100% perfectly right. If we were able to, then we wouldn't be sinners. Everything that we do, you and I do, is at least a little bit messed up by sin. So if I help someone, even the smallest thing, I'm always partly doing it for my own benefit. If I set out to do something good, somewhere along the way, I'm always going to break one of God's commandments. It's just the truth. So take something simple like going to church. Going to church, you all came. Wonderful, good job. You came to church. It's a great thing, right? But you and I cannot go to church and do it 100% perfectly right. And you may have guilted yourself about this in the past. Brent may have felt really guilty about it. Because for one thing, most of us don't come to church really fully excited about it. I mean, we should. If we did it absolutely right, I cannot wait to get there. But we don't. We're always thinking of other things we could be doing or whatever. For another thing, half the time that we're here, I know you all know this, we're not really here because our mind is wandering. And so we say, you know, we say the creed, we say the Lord's Prayer, listen to the sermon. Half the time we're not even listening, paying attention to the words, right? There's no way we're doing it perfectly right. And for another thing, we all know that deep down inside we go for the wrong reasons, and we're never going to change that. You know, there's always a part of us that's going because we think God will be happier with us if we go, and we think other people will think better of us. You just can't change it. You cannot go to church and do it 100% perfectly right. Take another thing like loving your kids. Oh, parents love their kids perfectly, right? Come on, what could we possibly be doing wrong there? Well, yeah, loving your children is a great work, but we certainly don't do it 100% perfectly right, and every parent knows this if they're really honest about it. I mean, this is why we look for time away from our kids, right? Feel guilty about it, but we do it. And this is why we often want our kids to do well, not just because we love them, but because it will make us look better too. And it's why we often skip doing prayers with them. I'm as guilty as anybody. Skip reading the Bible with them because we're selfish with our time. So sadly, we don't love anyone, children or anyone else, 100% perfectly right. Now, you can drive yourself absolutely crazy. You can drive your soul crazy trying to be perfect. I think we've all done this a time or two. We can try, you know, I'm going to go to church this morning with my whole heart. You know, I'm going to do it 100% perfectly right. I'm going to have the right motives. You know, I'm not going to be selfish about it. But you're not going to win that fight ever. You will never win it. Thankfully for us, God has given us a much better way. And it all starts right here in Jesus' baptism. You heard it today in Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17. Here's where God makes it right. John the Baptist, he wanted to do this thing right. Jesus comes to be baptized, and John's like, no way, you know, this is not right. I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. But Jesus gives these words. Here's the words that I'm really giving to you this morning. These are the key words. Jesus says, John, let it be so now, for it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to make everything right. This is how Jesus makes you and me perfectly right. He takes our place. So we've already established, as you know, you and I can't do it perfectly right. Well, here comes Jesus. He can. He absolutely can do everything 100% perfectly right. And so he says at his baptism to John, this is how, John, I'm going to make it right for you and for every other sinner in the world. He's going to take our place under the law and do it right. Like, for instance, one commandment, you should go to church and do it right, but we don't do it. Well, Jesus does, yeah. He worships God with his whole heart. Something that we cannot do, and he does it for us. Or the one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you shall love your kids, right? Perfectly. Yeah, Jesus does that. He loves each and every person perfectly, the thing we cannot do. That's the whole reason Jesus comes, to do this for us. And then he's going to take, while he's doing this perfectly for us, he's going to take all our sins, which were placed on him at his baptism, and he's going to go pay the price for them on the cross. Then he's going to rise from the dead to give you and I 100% perfectly right forgiveness. This is so important for us. You are not right with God because you do things 100% perfectly right. You are right with God because you live in Jesus, and he is 100% perfectly right. And that means everything that you do, whether it's coming to church this morning, whether it's loving your children, whether it's loving any of your neighbors, all your good works, they're only perfect because you do them in Jesus Christ. So today in church, your mind is going to wander. Maybe it's wandering right now. You'll have bad thoughts about being here, maybe think bad thoughts about somebody else. You can count on this. You can also count that today you will not love your neighbor perfectly, whoever that neighbor is, whether it's your kids or anybody else. But your work is still good. Why? Because it's done in Jesus, and he makes it right. And that's why the Bible tells you and me, look, everything that you do, do it in Jesus' name, because he's going to make it all right. So at your baptism, this is how God brought you into this. This is how he started it, made you right. He says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So that's our name now. And whatever we do in that name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whatever we do in that name is done in his love and forgiveness. So he's going to make it right. He's going to make it good. And that's why Martin Luther says in the Catechism, he says, when you get up in the morning, when you start your day, and when you end your day, do this. Say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's going to make your day right. You're doing it and living it in God's name. It's very much like a family name. I mean, it's not like this is some weird concept for us. We understand this. It's just like you have a family name. Now, around here, no one really knows my family name, right? I didn't grow up here or anything. But if I go back home and I say, well, yeah, I'm a Bainey. My parents are Kurt and Ruth Bainey. People will know that. Okay, even if they don't know me, a lot of people in that area are going to say right away, oh, yeah, okay. I know who you are now. And this is the way it works. It's the same way it works around here with family names around here. Not maybe not with all of you, if you haven't all lived here for a long time, but there's certain names, right? If you're a Krug or a Fink or a Parkhouse or a Wilkie, you may not know anybody at all, but you know, you meet them and you say, well, I'm a Wilkie or I'm a Krug, and they say, oh, okay, yeah, now I know, right? This is how names work. Well, you and I, we live in the name that we've been baptized into. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So when God sees us and we say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God says, yeah, I recognize you. I know you. You're mine. You're my child. You've been baptized in my name. And yes, yeah, he knows we sinners don't do anything 100% perfectly right. Yet he sees us living in Jesus. And that's what makes us right with him. Even if our works aren't right, he covers them with his grace and his forgiveness. And he makes us right. So then, the Bible tells us, everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Get up in the morning, say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to live today. You're not going to do everything perfectly right. You can count on that. But you'll do it in the name of Jesus. You're going to go to school, you go to school in the name of Jesus. Right? You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to hurt some of your friends. You're not going to do things that teachers don't want you to do. But you're doing it in the name of Jesus. He's going to cover those sins and make it right. You're going to go to work in the name of Jesus. You're going to raise your kids in the name of Jesus. You're going to love your spouse in the name of Jesus. You're going to love all the people you run into today in the name of Jesus. And when you go to bed at night, you're going to lay your head down and say, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's what's going to make your day right and make you 100% perfectly right. So really, what I'm really trying to get across to you today is what a comforting and glorious thing baptism is, and Jesus' baptism is. It makes us right. It makes us right. I mean, look at the words that God says to Jesus. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now, what more could we want than that? We want God to be pleased with us. And he is, because you live in Jesus. Man, do we need to hear that every day? Because every day, you know, we're not doing things 100% perfectly right. In fact, we're doing a lot of things really poorly, and we're doing a lot of sinful things very well. And we wonder, how in the world could God ever be pleased with me? Well, he's not pleased with our sin, but he is pleased with us because we live in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So my advice to you, don't even try to do things 100% perfectly right. You won't do it, and God isn't pleased with that anyway. He's pleased with you when you live in his Son, Jesus, when you live in his name and his forgiveness. And then you are right, and he is pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.